All right, well, we can all use it, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great and awesome love for us, Lord. Thank you for your plan, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy, Lord. And pray, Lord, that you would be honored tonight, Lord, as we look at your word. As we apply it, Lord, certainly want to walk away from here with some nuggets, perhaps, that we haven't heard, or maybe we have, and we just need a reminder, Lord. So just pray that you would speak to our hearts this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in chapter 28. Of Deuteronomy. Last time we had looked at these two mounts, Mount Ebal, which was the Mount of the Curse, you could say, and it was very desolate, very much a place that not people wouldn't knowingly or willingly probably want to stay there. Which is always amazing to me because, you know, we see trash heaps and we think we don't want to stay there, or we see just a desolate kind of area and we say, oh, we would never want to buy a home there. But then when the Lord asks us to do certain things and to obey him, we forget that's what we're saying that we want to live. When we disobey the Lord, we want to live in Mount Ebal. And not Mount Gerizim. Gerizim was where the blessings, it said, the blessings were pronounced there. And these, of course, were two mountains as they would enter the land and they would get in the land and they would actually, you'd almost have to say they would take possession of the land and they'd have to work their way to this place. And here are these two mountains. It was a reminder to them when they got there, when Joshua would get there. And in chapter 8 of Joshua, he would build an altar there on Mount Ebal, you know. And so somebody wants to come in. I don't know what that is, that knocking noise. But he would build an altar on Mount Ebal, which is the mountain of curse, right? So it's interesting because he didn't build it on Gerizim because that was the place of blessing. You know, so it tells us too that there has to be this offering that has to be before them. Curses, in a sense, our disobedience, our unrighteousness, all that stuff is taken care of. It has to be. And of course, today we would look at the Lord Jesus and say he is it. He's the one that, you know, the altar was made for, that he was the one that was sacrificed on the altar for our unrighteousness, you know, righteous for the unrighteous. And so, I don't know, this is a beautiful picture of what we walk into sometimes, and we have a choice. Do we want to go Ebal's way, or do we want to go Gerizim's way? And so there's that choice here. In this chapter, there's the first 14 verses deal with blessing. And there's how many verses to here? There's 68, right? So the next 15 through 68 there deal with curses. So, you know, it's kind of like, how do you equate it? You equate it to your kids, right? Your kids, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, because it keeps them out of the road. It keeps them off the yellow line kind of thing, right? You keep them out of danger. I mean, God tells us that there's consequences to the disobedience here. I think we can apply that to our own lives. You know, when we think of our own lives, does it break down in a sense like chapter 28 where there's 14 verses of blessing? or is the blessing more, you know? And you know, and why is there blessing and why is there curses, you know? And hopefully some of that we'll try to unravel here. as we go. Let's look at the first couple verses here. We will plow through some of these, so, you know, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but hopefully I'll highlight a couple things that the Lord showed me and go from there. It says, "Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of the Lord." So right off the bat, it says, "Now it shall come to pass if." Remember, I think it was last week we talked about the small word "but." This is even a smaller word "if," you know. And certainly what follows is very important to us. And if we are able, or if we are diligent, right? Diligence there, we're gonna, diligence tells me that I'm, you know, if I'm diligently seeking, right? It's a constant thing on my mind. It's something that I really, really want. I really want to do, you know? And so if we're diligently obeying the voice of God, well, if we're diligently obeying the voice of God, we must first be listeners to the voice of God. We can't just think that somehow through osmosis and other, you know, scientific means, we're going to be able to absorb the word of God in such a way that it would empower us to obey. Because on our own, you know, we're selfish, we're pretty sinful creatures, right? So unless we put ourselves in a position of diligence, we won't be diligent. You know, unless we say to ourselves, we're going to have this time of listening. You know, that's what I always, I don't know about y'all, but I always have that. That's my hardest thing with me. You know, some people would say, "Fred, you're a good listener. You sit there and you listen to me, you know, as I'm taught." Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm really a good listener, because I don't listen necessarily the way I should to the Lord's voice. That time that you just sit there, not reading the scriptures, you've already done that. You know, you've already got your fill, right? You've filled your cup's overflowing, you know, and you've prayed a lot, and then you're just listening, you know. Instead, what I do is I have this tendency of getting into the Word of God, and yeah, he speaks to me and so forth as we go through the scripture. But but sometimes I run out the door before he is finished with me speaking, you know, and that me personally, I'm just talking, it needs to be different if we're diligently obeying. That's part of the diligence, you know. We got to do that, you know. We got to listen to him. Yeah, and with this comes some awesome promises to Israel, is that the Lord would set them high above all nations of the earth. Of course, our obedience to the Lord should always not be because of the reward. It should always be because of the love that we have for him, that we want to diligently seek him because of that. But here's a promise to Israel. Israel, I'm going to set you above all the nations, meaning you're going to have all power, and, you know, you're going to be, in a sense, an elitist among all the nations. Why? Because you obeyed me. Just think of that for a minute and position our own self in that. What power is there in obedience to the voice of the Lord? How powerful that is. You know, that God would say, due to this, this is where you would be. In all the years of Israel, I don't think they ever saw this, because there was always this constant idolatry that was happening within them, right? They were steering, they were going off onto different tangents, and they would enter into the land and there'd be Canaanites there, and they'd fall in love with the Canaanite women, and they would fall in love with their traditions and their gods and all their stuff, right? And they would get attracted to that. And unfortunately, they miss this blessing. You know, it's a sadness. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. It's like the blessings are running after them. You know, and if we would obey, if they would obey the Lord, Israel would obey the Lord, that the blessings would overtake them. It would be almost like it would pile up on them, you know, it'd pile up on them and go, oh, blessing, wow, blessing, wow, blessing, you know, it'd just be almost an overwhelmness of blessing in a positive way. And it's all because of obedience to the voice of God. And so that's a key point here, you know, obey, 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 and then obey some more. And then, boy, the next 3 through 14 here just pours out God's rich blessing upon Israel, if they're obedient, you know. Blessed, verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. So, whether you're in the city, you're a city dweller, or a country dweller, it's like there's blessing there just from obedience. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of the flocks. So there's this flourishing that happens with Israel here. Blessing shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. So the things that they gather shall be overflowing here. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. So, tremendous blessing from the Lord. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. We'll see where the Lord takes this and turns it in the cursing portion of that. And we'll see where he takes that and kind of flips it on its head, turns it around a little bit. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Again, the remembrance there of that the Lord has given them a wonderful blessing in the land itself. And that he would take and he would fill their storehouses, and he would bring things into their hands and just bless them in that land that he had given them. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to him, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So he's going to make a people that is holy, that is separate for himself. You know, that in itself should raise their eyebrow a little bit and say, wow, what does that mean? Well, that means that God says, if you're obedient to me, our relationship to each other is even going to be closer. You know, there's going to be this blessing in relationship to the Lord. You know, so in itself should rejuvenate us a little bit. Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers and to give to you. The Lord will open to you his treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but shall not borrow. Wow. And the Lord will make you head and not the tail. You shall be above, only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. The Lord would certainly give them plenty here. One thing that I see there, it says, then all the people of the earth. So God's going to bless his people due to their obedience, right? And he says, and this I'm going to use, that all the people of the earth might see that you are called by the name of the Lord. You know, the blessing, I think sometimes we misunderstand blessing. I think blessings are to draw attention to the Lord, not draw attention to us. Right? Sometimes we say, well, we're blessed. Well, what that should look like is that when people see the blessing on your life, that it automatically is to the Lord. So if somebody sees you in something and you say, well, gee, you've been so blessed, you know, people have come up to you and say, well, you've been so lucky, right? You've been so lucky that, you know, your family, all your kids live around you. Or you've been so lucky that you've been married for 30 some years. You know how unlucky some people are, you know, that aren't? Well, then we turn it around and we say, no, we're not lucky. We're blessed of the Lord because we're his kid. And we really delight in his law. And we love the Lord. You know, and so it directs our blessings back to the Lord, and then he's blessed, right? So as the Lord blesses us, we bless him in return by giving him credit. Just as they realized that, hey, this land was given to them by the Lord, many of our blessings, right, should be given back to the Lord as a blessing. Yeah. So just a tremendous amount of blessings there that the Lord would do to the people, an obedient people. He would set them apart for himself, be great witness to the world. Yeah. But the next section here, well, chapter 15 kind of introduces it all, right? It says, but, another little word there, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And so, if you don't obey, there's a consequence here, right? The choice is yours. You can obey and receive the blessings of the Lord, or you can disobey and absorb all the curses. In the nation of Israel, of course, we know because we've read the scriptures Israel would certainly be blessed, but not to the fullest. You know, if you look at Israel and the boundaries of the land of Israel, even today, you know, they're not what they could be. Israel's never come to fruition, really, everything that the Lord has given them there. So, you know, it's just, you know, so important for us to just be obedient to the Lord. But here's just a lot of curses. So we're just going to read through these. I might stop along the way, but, cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Sound familiar? So it doesn't matter who you are and where you live. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall be when you come in, and cursed shall be when you go out, you know. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed or until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doing in which you have forsaken me. And this happens because we quit listening to the Lord, you know, we quit listening to the Lord, and we find that our ways are better than his ways. And at least that's what we believe for a term. You know, the sad thing is that people can forsake the Lord, know they forsook the Lord, come back to the Lord, and forsake the Lord. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? The Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with the scorch, with the mildew. You shall pursue, they shall pursue you until you perish. Kind of seems to be very much like the blessing that would overtake them if they were obedient. Now, all these awful things would come about until you perish. And your heaven, which are over your head, shall be the heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which are under your under you shall be iron. So the weather there isn't very nice. It says the Lord will change the rain of your land to dust, to powder and dust. From the earth, from the heaven, it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. Remember, before he said just the opposite, that Israel would, in obedience, would defeat the enemy. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways. Remember, it was just the other way around. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and beasts of the earth, and no one shall fight against them. The Lord shall strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with scabs, with itch, from which you cannot heal. Remember, when Egypt was in, or I'm sorry, Israel was in Egypt, right? For them 400 years, the Lord would send the plague, and the plague would be throughout, right, the land of Egypt, except for Israel. right? They would be protected. But now the Lord says, you know the truth. You've wandered through the wilderness with me. You know, I've been with you through it all, and now you're disobedient. This is what's going to happen. You know, you're going to go back to the, in a sense, it's like, you know, you think the world's better than the Lord. So go at it, you know. So they're going to experience some of the boils of Egypt with the tumors and the scabs and the itch from which you cannot be healed. Wow. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not gather its grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, your livelihood. You know, disaster. You think of when some folks, they just seem to live in all this, you know. Their whole life is just, you know, they've neglected the Lord, they've forsaken the Lord, and this is some of the torment, in a sense, that occurs. But you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you, and shall not be restored to you. And your sheep shall be given to your enemies. And you shall have no one to rescue them. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people. And your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all day long. And there shall be no strength in your hand. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land and the produce of your labor. And you shall be only oppressed and crushed continually. So you shall be driven mad because of the sight which your eyes see. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with severe boils, which cannot be healed. And for the sole of your foot to the top of your head, the Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. You shall become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all nations where the Lord will drive you. You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locusts shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes. For the worms shall eat them, and you shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for your oil shall drop off. Your olive shall drop off. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. And of course, Israel and Judah, they would all experience captivity under others' reign. They would also experience oppression under the Roman government, of course. The locust shall consume all the trees and the produce of your land. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. Remember, God's promise of obedience was that they were going to be the highest nation, right? They were going to be lifted up. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. The reverse there of a blessing. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle's flies, a nation whose language you do not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil, or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flock until they have destroyed you. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls, in which you trust, come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you at all your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. It's always stuck in there. Remember, the Lord gave us this. You shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your own son and your own daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you in the siege and separate straits in which your enemy shall distress. The sensitive, very refined man among you will be hostile towards his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the rest of his children whom he leaves behind, so that he will not give any of them the flesh of his children whom he will eat, because he has nothing left in the siege and separate, in desperate straits in which your enemy may distress you at all your gates. So there's this, if you can just imagine it, you know, it's just a desperate cursing here, of course. The tender and the delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of the delicateness and sensitivity will refuse to the husband her bosom, and to her son and her daughter, her placenta which comes out from between her feet, and her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for the lack of everything in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. If you do not carefully observe all the words of the law which are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious prolonged sickness. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the distress of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also every sickness and every plague which is written in the book of the law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing, and shall be plucked up from off the land which you possess, to possess it. Then the Lord will scatter you among all the people, and one of the earth, from one end of the earth to the other. There you shall serve other gods, and neither you nor your fathers have known. Wood, stone, made out of wood or stone. And among those nations you shall find no rest. This isn't a vacation. Nor shall the soles of your feet have the resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and an anguished soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you would say, oh, that it were morning. Because of the fear that terrifies your heart, and because of the sight which your eyes see. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships, by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you. So we know that during the whole Titus, invasion there of Jerusalem and the destruction there of the temple and so forth, and all the walls and so forth, we know that there was slaves that were sent out, you know, that were basically free slaves that were sent to Egypt. But boy, that just is it's tough to read through that. It's because not just because, you know, there's just a lot of words. It's a long chapter, right? That's tough enough as it is. But this was Moses is preparing these folks for Israel or for going into the land and giving them the choice, you know, blessing or curse, you know. And boy, if you read through that, that's a lot of destruction that is brought about by the Lord to his people that have been in disobedience. And you think, well, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there, right? I want the blessing, Lord, right? So it, you know, for us, you know, I know it's a long, lengthy kind of lot of stuff in here. But for me anyways, speaking of myself, I think the one thing the Lord showed me was that I have, if I'm going to obey, I'm going to have ears to listen. You know, ears to listen. If I don't want to obey, then forget it. I don't need that, right? But as a child of God, we should yearn for relationship with the Lord. And for us, you know, as sin comes in, that just separates us from the Lord. You know, that gives us that, you know, we have relational problems there because of our sin. So obeying just makes sense, you know, as we draw closer to the Lord. I think the other thing too is that a blessing is for the Lord. You know, the blessings we enjoy it, but it's really for the Lord, you know, because it draws, our blessings should draw attention to the Lord, you know. And it gives us opportunities, you know, hey, you know, the Lord blessed me with this, you know, and so forth. But that's all I get. I got a lot more stuff in here, but to keep it to my 8 o'clock, hour here, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. You know, there's always something in there that pricks our hearts, Lord, and turns us, Lord, and makes us think, Lord, and hopefully that's what it did for others here tonight too. And just, you know, and you know, you just use that, Lord, for your glory and drawing your men and your women, Lord, to yourself, and help us, Lord, to be your people that are obedient, Lord. We don't need to suffer certainly the consequences, and nor do you want us to, Lord. And you've given us such wonderful direction in your word, Lord. We just need to obey every word of it and not turn one way or the other, Lord, but just do as you said, Lord. And so help us with that, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Help us to walk according to your ways, Lord. And we just praise you. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. I ask you, Lord, to bless our efforts too tonight as we try to get ready for Saturday. And we know we got a couple of days here of nasty weather, so we pray, Lord, that you'd give us all wisdom and that things would get accomplished as you see fit, Lord. May you be glorified in all that as well, Lord. And as people come in and as people maybe stay for the service or just come for the service and hear your word, Lord, may the gospel go forth. And we just praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.